Welcome to A Slob Comes Clean, the podcast. I am Dana K. White. I share my personal deslobification process. As I figure out ways to keep my own home under control, I share the truth about cleaning and organizing strategies that actually work in real life for real people, people who don't love cleaning and organizing. Thanks for joining me today. This is podcast number 396, and I think I'm going to call it Why Isn't in My Decluttering Process. So I have found myself over the last probably, couple of weeks, month, whatever. Y'all, time is just absolute time warp for me right now. Oh, my word. Anyway, like the week before Thanksgiving, I was at a conference in California talking to realtors. And the next week, I was out of town the whole week for Thanksgiving, and then I came back, and then y'all, yesterday I had jury duty. I did not get picked. I did not try to not get picked because I was like, you know, they gave us the speech and I was like, you know what? If it was my family member who was a victim or accused of something, I would want somebody to do the right thing, right? And so I was determined to not try to get out of it, but I am not saying that I wasn't incredibly relieved when I was not picked. But anyway, it's been bananas. It's been crazy. Why did I start telling you that? I have no idea, but I know what it is. Over the course of just talking to people a lot in different scenarios, so it wasn't always even about decluttering, but specifically when I would be teaching and talking to people about, you know, what it is that I do, it so often comes up that people want to fixate on why it is this way. And I'm like, I get it. Like, I get the desire to understand. And I'll be honest, it's usually people talking to me about other people in their lives who, or other people that they've dealt with or whatever, who had, you know, a situation that was out of control in their home. And they say, you know, they're like, but why? And I keep saying over and over, I'm like, you know what? I don't find that word to be helpful. Now, we're going to talk about, yes, there are times when it can be helpful, but when there is a situation where we are overwhelmed in our home, okay, when I say we, I'm always talking about me, right? Like I'm saying, this is where I was. I was completely overwhelmed in my home. I wanted to know why. I wanted to know why it had gotten so bad. I wanted to know why it had always been a struggle. I wanted to know why I was not like everybody else in the world that seemed to be able to do this stuff without it being so incredibly difficult and impossible for them, the way that it seemed to be for me. I wanted to know all of those. And I think what was happening was that I was thinking, if I understood why, that would be the light switch that I've been looking for to flip on to illuminate everything and change it all, because I really always wanted that light switch, you know, the light bulb to come on in my mind and for me to realize, oh, I get it now. Okay. If I just could see clearly with the light switch turning on, if I just understood why, this would be easy. I wanted the lightning bolt change. I wanted the wake up tomorrow and be organized solution. I wanted my brain to be different. Well, as y'all know, if you have listened to this podcast ever, basically, it wasn't a lightning bolt. And in fact, all the years when I was waiting for the lightning bolt or to find the light switch or for the light bulb to come on or whatever light instantaneous, you know, comparison I'm trying to make to happen, when I was waiting for that, I wasn't improving my home.
Ever catch yourself eating the same flavorless dinner 3 days in a row? Dreaming of something better? Well, HelloFresh is your guilt-free dream come true, baby. It's me, Keke Palmer. Let's wake up those taste buds with hot, juicy pecan-crusted chicken or garlic butter shrimp scampi. Mm. HelloFresh. Stop dreaming of all the delicious possibilities and dig in at HelloFresh.com. Let's get this dinner party started.
I was wanting to know why and fixating on that to the point that I was not actually just doing the things that I could go ahead and do. And the funny thing, not funny ha-ha, funny huh thing, is that once I started doing the things, getting rid of the stuff, washing the dishes, doing the pickups, giving things homes, once I started doing that, two things happened simultaneously. I started to change my home immediately, and I started to understand and see why my home had always been a disaster. And unfortunately, it was not because I had childhood trauma, which I think many of you, that may be part of your story. But for me, it was not childhood trauma, but it was the real reason why, y'all, I figured out why my dishes weren't done. For me, it was because I wasn't doing them. And I don't know, is this getting too sassy? If this is too sassy, Rachel, you can take it out, okay? But I'm being sassy to myself, right? Like, I'm talking to the me who used to be like, why is my kitchen always a disaster? And then over time, I realized, oh, you know, as I actually started doing the dishes every day, figuring out that dishes math is a thing, and that my perception of how long it took to do the dishes was completely warped by the fact that I always waited until I was out of dishes, and then it took hours for me to catch up. And so I didn't understand what one day's worth of dishes were. All that time of me being like, why is my kitchen so hard to keep under control? Well, it was because I wasn't doing the dishes. That was the why for me. Okay. Now, there are more things, obviously, for so many people, and I don't want to discount that. I don't want to say that you don't need the help of someone who can help you dive into the background that you have, maybe some things that you were taught or told, or things that were said to you, or things that happened to you. All of that can absolutely impact the way that you view your home now. Okay. And so y'all know I highly value professional mental health, right? Professional mental health professionals helping you. I highly value that. Okay. But I also know that for me, I was ready to learn some things about myself and accept that while my brain works differently, I was more ready for that when I wasn't as overwhelmed by my house, and I was less overwhelmed by my house because I had less stuff in it, and I, you know, felt capable of keeping the dishes done. Okay. So it's this thing of like, do we wait for the why, or do we go ahead and start doing the work? And then as we do the work, the why both becomes clear to us as we're doing the work, but we're also better able, I shouldn't be saying we're, I always try to veer away from that because I know how it feels when you're the person who's listening to someone speaking like, we're doing this. And you're like, no, I'm not. Okay. But for me, as I was digging my way out, I started to see why it had been this way for me, started to understand myself more, and I was better equipped to accept that, embrace it, and use it because I was less overwhelmed by my house because of the work that I had done that was also the thing that got me to understanding why. See, why isn't in my decluttering process? That's what we're talking about today, okay? I don't use it as part of the process, but I don't want to discount the desire to and the helpfulness of knowing why. Okay. The desire to know why and the helpfulness of knowing why. I'm not discounting that, but I am saying I don't use why in my decluttering process because I don't find it helpful in the actual decluttering process. It's not necessary. So why? There's a reaction to why. I react when someone says, well, why this? Because even if they say it kindly, I often hear the word why as an accusation. So when someone asks me, why do you, and they still, oh my goodness, y'all, if you want people to ask you why you do every last little thing that you do, you know what you should do? You should start a YouTube channel. because it's a wonderful, wonderful way to get people to question. For the most part, I would say 99.8% of all the people are incredibly wonderful. But there are going to be, why this? Why that? Why do you keep your dishwasher tabs on the counter instead of under the sink? Why do you, you know, why do you not change the what are they called? The things? Hinges. Why don't you change the hinges on that cabinet to the other side so that it's easier to get into from there? And I'm like, because you don't know me at all. I am not the person who's ever going to change the hinges. Changing hinges? Well, that sounds like a real big project that I'm never going to do, right? So that's why, but that doesn't answer, you know, but I'm just saying, like, when I, the why that question, especially when it's something that I'm thinking, oh, I've either never noticed that before. I've never really thought about why. I know that it's not relevant to the situation. It just raises my hackles. I don't know what hackles are on people, but I know them when I feel them, right? That feeling on the back of your neck where you're just like, you know, it's like my dog does when she thinks something that is not good is around, right? Like the hair on the back of her neck just stands straight up because it's like, I'm ready. I'm bracing. Something's going on here, right? And so that's how a lot of us feel when someone asks us the question, why? Like, explain yourself. And so I don't use it in the process because either if it's me having to ask myself why, that's when I end up, oh, spinning out. I don't know why. Well, this is why. Well, when I'm helping someone else, especially, and this is one of the first things I teach my decluttering coaches. Y'all know I have decluttering coaches, right? Who are trained in my method. You can go to decluttering coaches.com. Everybody listed there on a cute little map of the United States and worldwide is trained and certified by me and my method. The number one thing we talk about is why we don't use the question why, right? It immediately causes the person that you're helping to declutter, whether that's someone else or even myself, to be defensive. Okay. And that's not helpful in the process. We're working together. We don't need to set up a situation where you have to explain yourself. You know, I did a video with my husband probably a year and a half ago where I was helping him clean out his office. And I asked the question, why? I was like, why do you have that? And I, because it's natural to ask. It is the most normal thing in the world to ask. Like, I really want to know, why do you have this? And yet I stopped myself and I was like, you know what? Actually, it doesn't matter why. And sometimes you accidentally ask it and that's a great opportunity to just put it out there that, hey, I'm not asking why. We're not worried about that. We can move on and work on the decluttering process without ever asking why because it causes that defensiveness. It often makes me hold on tighter because if I need to explain it, if I need to understand why I have this thing in my house, then I'm starting to think about the circumstances when it entered my house. Maybe the reasons why I bought it, why I brought it into my house. It helps me think of, it causes me to think, it's not helpful, but it causes me to think of all the what ifs, right? Like, well, I have that because, you know, I have that, those knitting needles because I get cold in the winter and I really love the idea of a homemade blanket. And I don't actually know how to knit or anything, but I saw those needles, those knitting needles, and I was like, you know what? I should go ahead and get those because I really would like to know how to make blankets one day. And so, and then I start thinking about things other than the reality of the stuff that I'm dealing with, its role in my house right now, the function of this space that I am trying to really focus in on. Okay. So I am not thinking about the actual things I need to be doing of making this space functional, which is our goal with decluttering. I'm thinking about all these other things, either in the past when I got it or in the future for why I might have it. All of that leads it to me justifying keeping it, which if I don't ask why, there's often a very easy, oh, well, of course this can go, right? But as I'm justifying, it's also leading me to resisting letting go of it. Okay. It's just not necessary to ask why. So if you're new here, I have a 5-step decluttering process, which guarantees progress and only progress as long as you follow it. Okay. So you can't just be like, I'm doing this and then do it your way. And then you're like, oh, I didn't make progress. Well, if you actually do it my way, you're going to make progress. Okay. So that's the whole thing of it guarantees progress. I am so excited about my new digital picture frame from Aura. It is beautiful and it solves clutter problems. One frame that rotates, so it lets me display lots of photos. There's a new photo every 10 minutes. I am seriously delighted every time I walk by my beautiful Aura frame. Mom, I hope you're not listening because you are also getting an Aura frame for Mother's Day. I am going to customize the gift by preloading photos onto the frame. There's a super simple app that I can share with the whole family so they can add photos to my mom's frame too, anytime from wherever they are around the globe. I used the Aura app and I had everything set up for my frame in 2 minutes. You can upload an unlimited number of photos, invite others to share photos directly to your frame with no fees or memberships. Right now, Aura has a great deal for Mother's Day. Listeners can save on the perfect gift by visiting auraframes.com to get $30 off plus free shipping on their best-selling frame. That's AURAframes.com. Use code CLEAN at checkout to save. Terms and conditions apply. Y'all know how much I love summer, and summer's coming. I definitely like to get a few new fun summertime pieces. So I really try to follow my one in, one out rule in my closet. I especially love to replace worn out pieces of clothing with high quality pieces that I know I will love for the long haul. On the Quince website, I searched for wide leg pants to have something cool and comfy for summer travel. And I found the perfect navy pair in European linen that were less than $40. That's really the best part. Quince items are all priced 50 to 80% less than similar brands, and they partner directly with top factories. Quince cuts out the cost of the middleman and passes the savings on to us. I love that. Get warm weather ready with Quince. Go to quince.com/clean for free shipping on your order and 365-day returns. That's quince.com/clean to get free shipping and 365-day returns. quince.com/clean. This message is sponsored by Greenlight. It's a little bit scary to send your kids out on their own into the big wide world. As mine head into their next adventures, I definitely think through whether I've prepared them for all the things that are going to come their way. Do they know how to manage money? Do they know how to budget? What about investing for the future? Greenlight can help your children get ready. Their debit card and money app is made for families. With instant money transfers, you can send your kid a recurring allowance to their Greenlight debit card. It truly is so easy to use and customize to fit your family's needs. It's great to have someone else backing up mom and dad when it comes to the money talk. And Greenlight plays that role. Your kids will be able to build financial literacy and independence by learning to earn, save, and spend wisely. The Greenlight app also comes with a game that teaches financial literacy. Level Up helps kids build money confidence through videos, challenges, mini games, and more. So stop putting off the money talk and start putting your kids on the right path. Sign up for Greenlight today and get your first month free at greenlight.com/clean. That's greenlight.com/clean to try Greenlight for free. greenlight.com/clean. Okay. So in this 5-step process, we get rid of the trash. Okay. This is a very easy thing for me to want to fixate on the why. Why is this still here? Why did I make myself apple cider, tear that package open, and just leave that package there right next to the kettle? Like, why did I do that? What is wrong with me? Why? Those are the kinds of things that used to go through my head a lot, still do go through my head sometimes, right? If I have to figure out why I do that, in the meantime, there are still apple cider packets, empty trash on my countertop, right? So I cut out the why and I just say, I'm going to look for trash. I'm going to throw away trash. And I start throwing away the trash and then they're gone. And you know what actually happens over time? As I go through this process and I say, oh, I'm overwhelmed. I got to look for trash. Okay. Apple cider packets. Oh, I got to look for trash. Oh, Wow. This time there's more apple cider packets. That's weird. Okay. Okay. I guess space is over. Oh my God. Oh, I got to look for trash. Okay. Oh, apple cider packets. As I do that and I throw those things away and I haven't worried about why, but I've gone through the action of throwing them away. I still feel like, oh my word, why is this here? I still feel that way, but I'm not taking time to try to answer the why. But I'm making real progress and I get to experience, wow, this space looks so much better without apple cider packets right there, okay, that hadn't been thrown away. And then over time, I end up changing how my brain works and I am much less likely to put the apple cider packets and just leave them there because I've gone through the action of cleaning that up and having and experiencing, oh, that was easy. Oh, wow, that makes a really big difference. Oh, wow, I seem to be doing this over and over. And so then I start to set it down and then I realize, oh, I can just go ahead and stick this in the garbage now instead of waiting, right? So it's not necessary in the process to ask myself why. And I solve the problem by going ahead and solving it, right? Instead of thinking before I actually start doing anything. Which when you don't have an answer for why, that's when it gets real easy to just keep on thinking and thinking and thinking and thinking and thinking some more, right? Because I don't have an I don't know why I do that, but I can still improve my house without knowing why, okay? And I can even improve my habits and I can start to change how I focus and how I do things by just going ahead and doing it, okay? The next step of my decluttering process, I'll go through these quickly, but they are easy stuff. Right? Easy stuff is anything that has an established home somewhere else in the house, but for whatever reason, it's not there, it's here. I'm not going to worry about why. I mean, it's one of the things I always say, I'm like, don't worry about why. Just take it to its home. Often the action of taking it to its home will reveal why it is that this happened, right? But even if it doesn't, it still ends up in its home and this space is less overwhelming than it was before, right? Next, I do the donations. Now, this is one where I am specifically giving myself permission to not worry about anything other than just, oh, this can go. I'm not going to ask myself why it's here. I'm not going to ask myself why I didn't get rid of it sooner. I'm not, all those things opened me up when I let myself ask the question why. They opened me up to a lot of angst. And instead, I just say, this is a step in my process. I look for anything that just is obviously a donation and it can go immediately. And then that stuff, once it's gone, you know, it's gone. And then that space is better than it was before. So going through the process, the other two steps of the process are the two decluttering questions and then embracing the reality of the space, right? But we don't use why in the middle of that process because it adds time and unnecessary emotional energy, and we just don't need it. Okay. It's not needed in there, and it generally causes more harm than good to use it as part of the process. Again, we are not saying that there's no value in understanding this, but generally the understanding comes about as you do the thing, right? As you do the thing, as you do the decluttering process. Sometimes also there are things when that I don't want to keep, I don't need to keep, that I do have a why for. Sometimes there are things that I'm like, yeah, there's a reason that I kept this. And I find this a lot with stuff that is initially, I think it's sentimental. But when I actually give myself permission to not go through the why and instead just say, okay, you know, where would I look for this first? That's my first decluttering question. If I needed this item, where would I look for it first? Oh, wait, I'd never go looking for this thing because I actually don't like it. And then I realized that what I thought was sentimental was actually more like guilt clutter, right? Like it was sentimental to someone else in my life at some point. It was something that someone gave me and I felt like I needed to keep it out of either, you know, gratefulness or, you know, keep it a family treasure in the whatever. And those are all whys of why I maybe would have kept this item. But because I'm not using why in my decluttering process, and instead I'm just saying, where would I look for it first? And then if I don't have an answer to that, would it ever occur to me that I had one? Then those reveal to me that it doesn't have a place in my house. Even though if I was saying why I had it here, I could totally give you a big long reason. But in reality, it doesn't deserve space in my home. There might be a why, but I don't want it. And so I'm not going to ask why and then end up keeping something that shouldn't be here just because there's some, you know, because we can't say that, you know, if we're going to ask the question why, then we have to have like, well, then which whys are legitimate and which ones are not. And that's when we get into all this other, you know, so it's like I get to take all that out by just asking myself the decluttering questions, right? There's also times when I do want to keep something and I don't have a why for it. I think this is one of the things that we, you know, with my coaches, we try to be really careful of, right? And this is one of the main reasons we talk about why is I'm like, it is up to me as the person decluttering my space. I'm the one who gets to decide what it is I'm going to keep and what I'm not going to keep. Okay. But I'm going to do that successfully when I have boundaries around it, right? Would I ever go looking for it? Okay. Maybe not, but I just can't get rid of this thing. Okay. Well, then we're going to go with the realities of the space. Is there room for it? If there's room for it and it's not going to, you know, shove out or make it impossible to function and use, something that I do actually need and use all the time, you know, for my right now life, then I can keep it. And I don't have to justify keeping it. I don't have to, you know, write a dissertation on all the reasons why this thing should get to stay in my home. I just get to go, okay, well, there's space so I can keep it. Or there's no space so I can't keep it. I mean, it just takes the why and the justifying and the arguing, whether it's with the person helping me or it's with myself, it takes that out of the equation, right? And so we remove all that and we just go with the reality of the situation and the space and my personality and all that kind of stuff. And that's what the decluttering process does. If you ever want a copy, a printable of my 5 decluttering steps, you can sign up for my newsletter at aslobchemsclean.com/5, FIVE. Okay.
Small details are big surfaces. Tight corners are odd shapes. Flat, rounded, textured, or tall. Whatever your next project, there's a spray paint pattern that's just right. Because Rust-Oleum's new Custom Spray 5-in-1 gives you control with 5 different spray patterns. So you can tackle nooks, crannies, edges and curves without worrying about drips, runs, uneven coverage, or anything else. Custom Spray 5-in-1. Only from Rust-Oleum.
Hi, I'm Daniel, founder of Pretty Litter. Cats and cat owners deserve better than any old-fashioned litter. That's why I teamed up with scientists and veterinarians to create Pretty Litter. Its innovative crystal formula has superior odor control and weighs up to 80% less than clay litter. Pretty Litter even monitors health by changing colors to help detect early signs of potential illness. It's the world's smartest kitty litter.
Go to prettylitter.com and use code ACAST for 20% off your first order and a free cat toy. Terms and conditions apply. See site for details.
Okay. Let's see. I already kind of started talking about this stuff at the beginning. But yeah, it's the understanding why might release you. It might be that clarifying moment that allows you to move forward. But you can also move forward before you have that moment. And often it is the moving forward that is the thing that helps me be ready for that moment of realization. Okay. So I did a podcast, and I think I did a blog post years ago too. In 2017, my family and I went on an archaeological dig. It was a week of getting up. I think we had to be up at like 4 because we like left at 5 a.m. and rode this bus out to this archaeological dig site. And so I don't remember a whole lot. I don't remember enough to ever call myself any kind of expert in that area. But I do know that, you know, we were there for like the, I don't know, sixth week or something, where people, different groups had been working on these different ones. And we each little section had their own actual archaeologist, you know, so we were just there to do grunt work. But, you know, when you look at the ground and to realize that people had been walking over this piece of ground or could have just looked at it for literally thousands of years and not known that there was a wall under there, because it just looks like ground, right? And yes, there are different kinds of studying that people would do and technology and stuff to try to figure out kind of where to even start. And I get that. But, you know, the only way that I was able to see where the wall was that people started scraping the dirt away, right? And dirt is dirt. That was one of the things I realized when we did this archaeological dig. Most of it is dirt. There's very little actual important stuff. Most of it's just the dirt, and it's the whole process is just removing the dirt, removing the dirt. Well, there was no way to see the wall. I didn't know there was a wall there until the dirt started to be removed. Okay. And then as we kept going, we kept removing more and more dirt. And the closer we got, the more we could be a little more precise in things, right? Like, you knew where it was. And so now you could kind of predict, okay, I'm going to take a little more out of here and I'm going to really focus on the dirt here. Although you're draining the bathtub, which is what they would talk about. You don't want to do like dig real deep over here. You kind of got to do it evenly, right? But you just kept removing, kept removing, kept removing. And the more you removed, the more you could see what it was you had wanted to see from the beginning. And you could understand a whole lot more of like, oh, okay, wow, this is a little ledge on that wall. Oh, this is a doorway. Okay. You could understand it more as the stuff got removed. That's why I'm so big on taking those first three steps of the process without the commitment to be done, without the commitment to finish this thing once and for all and do it all perfectly. It was saying, even if I never get to steps 4 and 5, what if I just do steps 1, 2, and 3? Trash, easy stuff, and dead donations. Just the things that don't require any emotional gymnastics, right? That don't require anything, because they are literally, by definition, the things that don't cause me any kind of emotional angst. They are the things that don't require emotional energy. They don't require me to make decisions. It's the things that I look at and I'm like, well, of course that's trash. That's what I'm talking about. It's the things that are easy because, oh, well, that has a home somewhere else. Well, okay. You know, and the more I get those things out, the more I am clarifying what I'm actually dealing with. And then I see what it is. So I'm not just imagining in my head anymore the what am I dealing with and what is all this and blah, blah. No, I know what I'm dealing with. And with all that other stuff out of there, when I've clarified this wall, when I have removed the easy, obvious dirt, the stuff, right? And I know what I'm dealing with, I'm in a very different place than I was before when it was one big, overwhelming mess. When I was, you know, for the archaeological parallel, when I was just walking over a piece of ground, not knowing what it was, not having any idea, and therefore really not even being able to think about or imagine what was underneath, right? But once that obvious has to go anyway stuff is gone, that's when I can see it. And that is when I am much more able to do it. But just remember, you can go through the whole decluttering process and never ask the question why. Never have to answer the question why. Okay? You can make yourself, your house, your home, your function of things in your space so much better without having to ask or answer that question. But that's naturally going to help you understand. What's my why? Why my house was such a disaster? Well, honestly, a lot of that is project brain, right? The things that I am good at get accomplished in a way that is very different than the house needs to be maintained, right? My house is not a project. It's not something that I get clean top to the bottom and then it stays that way. That's just not life. Okay. That's not how that works. So when I was tackling my house like a project, that was backfiring for me. What are some other things? my brain works differently from that of naturally organized people. I didn't know that. I didn't understand that, oh, the things that make me tick, that make me, are also things that naturally result in a house getting a little out of control if I don't put in strategies and processes that work for me and my brain to keep it under control. Okay. But trying to follow the advice of people for whom, to whom this stuff comes naturally, you know, it was never going to work for me. You know, it was never going to work for me to pull everything out of a space, because that's the thing that gets me overwhelmed. It's the thing that caused me to give up before I got started because of all the times I had tried doing that and had failed at it that way. All right. I realized a big why of why my house was consistently out of control was that I have a really low clutter threshold, and I didn't know a clutter threshold was a thing because I hadn't made it up yet. And a clutter threshold is the point at which I personally can keep my home under control easily. I didn't know there was a point when I would be able to keep my house under control. I just thought I wasn't capable of doing this. By decluttering, I learned that I had a clutter threshold. I learned what my clutter threshold was. And then I was able to keep my house under control, which then helped me realize, oh, I can do this. Right? But if I had just been like, why? And that's one of the things that's frustrating, because I know people want, I have been asked before, can you create a quiz? Like, tell me how to know what my clutter threshold is. And I'm like, the only way to know it is to declutter. You declutter, and you're probably pretty quickly going to realize, oh, my house is easier this way. It's still hard. I'm still overwhelmed. But you declutter more and you declutter more and you declutter more. And one day you realize, oh, I can do this. That's your clutter threshold. So by finding my clutter threshold, I realized, why was my house out of control? I had more stuff than I could handle. I had more stuff than I could keep under control. There was no way that I could handle all the things that I had. Therefore, I needed to have less stuff. Okay. All right. I hope this has been helpful. I hope y'all had a wonderful, are we like a week past Thanksgiving? Did I do a podcast last week, y'all? I'm telling you. Whew. Time is crazy right now for me and my brain. Anyway. All right. I just want to remind you that Take Your House Back, the course I created with Cass from Clutterbug and Dawn from Minimal Mom, is on sale for $94 through maybe first week in January. Yeah. So if you want to go to aslobcomesclean.com/take, that is where to go to find that. All right. I will talk to y'all later.